Please stand for the gospel reading. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said to them, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' They were very sorrowful and began to say him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.' Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. As we are gathered here on the first of these three holy days, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter, we have before us a gospel reading that is both troubling and tremendously encouraging. So this is a serious service, and we will leave quietly as we prepare for tomorrow. When you get out in the narthex, please feel free to visit, but we'll keep quiet in here. And after the service, the altar will be stripped, and then we will leave, and we can be both sober and quietly rejoicing. Rejoicing because of the great gift of the Lord's body and blood that we will have received, and that for the forgiveness of our sins. Thanks to be God. So the Last Supper with his closest friends, the disciples, the 12, takes place at the beginning of the holy Jewish observance of Passover. Jesus is, of course, a devout Jew, and he is come, first of all, to his own people as the Messiah, as the great leader that they had been waiting for. But he is rejected by the Jewish leaders, rejected essentially by his people. And as they gather for this special meal, Jesus' impending death is hanging over the meal. This is the last meal that they will share together on this earth. At this meal, Jesus transforms the Jewish Passover into our communion. And the time, do you think the timing of this was an accident? Certainly not, because the connection between the two meals, Passover and Holy Communion, is profound. And in particular, the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, which took place in Egypt the first time, the night when the angel of death was passing over, and the firstborn of Egypt under the Pharaoh were to be killed, every one of them. The Passover lamb, with instructions from God, was to be slaughtered, and the blood put on the doorposts and the and other parts of the door, so that when the angel of death came over, he would see this blood, and by that blood, the firstborn of Israel would be saved. So Jesus, our Lord, is our Passover lamb. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we should be very clear about that, because all the sins of all people are atoned for by the blood of Jesus. Let me repeat that. All the sins of all people forever, from before all time until the end of time, are forgiven because of what Jesus did, atoning for that sin. So now, we have new life and life forever given freely to all who accept this gift of Jesus' sacrifice, his saving blood. I should mention that back in Egypt, at the time of the Passover, and when the firstborn were saved, that is also when the people of Israel were freed. That's when Pharaoh said, go, leave. So here, these many millennia later, you got the people of Israel still celebrating this Passover meal, and they will. Until they hear otherwise. It's an eternal command to them to do this Passover meal. So could there be the conjunction of these two sacred meals? Could this be some kind of an accident? Not a chance. The hand of God is clearly at work here to release the chosen people from enslavement in Egypt and to release the people from enslavement to their sin and death. But why, we wonder, why at this special meal? Why does there have to be this awful betrayal? Why, when the Blessed Sacrament is being presided by and instituted by our Lord Jesus, why should there be, at that time, this terrible betrayal? As they were eating, Jesus said to them, I say to you truly, one of you will betray me. They were very sorrowful, and they began saying to him one after another, Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Is it I? Each one asked the Lord. They were hoping, of course, that he would say, no, not you. But why should such a prediction of the betrayer happen right in this holy meal? What could be worse than a dear friend of Jesus and the others, one who was with the 12 and with Jesus through his whole ministry? They were as close as they could possibly be, brothers. Now they would become blood brothers. What could be worse than a betrayal at this time that one of the 12 would turn him in, turn him into the authorities for punishment, which, as we know, became death on a cross? What could be worse than this terrible thing? Is it I, Lord? This question is for us too. Am I coming to this meal worthily? That is, do I trust the words of Jesus when he says, "This is my body, this is my blood"? To be worthy does not mean to be without sin. No, we are sinners. We are sinful people. This meal is for sinners who repent, who turn away from their sin and trust that receiving this meal in faith, we receive the promised forgiveness from our Lord. We come to the Lord's table in sorrow for our sin, but also with overwhelming gratitude for this supper of our salvation. So each of the disciples asks the Lord if they are the one who will turn him in. And Jesus tells them that the betrayer is the one who has dipped his hand in the dish with me. And then the Lord declares, quote, "Son of Man goes as it is written for him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And then it was Judas' turn to ask, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And Jesus answered, "You have said so." And so it was Judas, the only one, by the way, who addressed Jesus as Rabbi, but not as Lord. So the meal continues, and now the darkness of Judas's treason will give way to the precious words that will change this Passover meal into our most sacred gift from God, the Holy Communion. In Matthew's carefully recorded words, it says, "Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take and eat, this is my body.'" Notice that the breaking of the bread corresponds to the breaking of Jesus' body on the cross for you, for me, for all people. Notice, too, that the communion is a gift, a self-gift from Jesus to us. It comes down from the Lord to us. It is not something that we offer up to the Lord as a gift. It is not what we do for the Lord. Jesus gave this gift to his disciples. He gave it to us. We receive it. It is not a meal for everyone. It is for baptized believers. The meal is profaned when the invitation is given to everyone, as it is in some places and some churches. Y'all come. Come regardless of what your beliefs are, regardless of what your religion is, or if it's none at all. This meal is restricted to the body of believers, to Christians who trust in the Lord Jesus, who follow him. This meal is restricted to the body. Otherwise, the church has no boundaries, and you really have no church. So then the Lord took the cup, And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So here we come to what this communion meal is really all about. It's about the forgiveness of sins. And how is this achieved? This is achieved through the body and the shed blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we eat that body and drink that blood as we receive him in this meal. And not just spiritually, not just as a remembrance, but physically, materially. So how is this possible? Isn't what we eat and drink only a sign of the Lord's body and blood? No. We believe and teach that we receive the actual body and blood of our Lord in, with, and under the bread and the wine. In other words, the bread is still bread. The wine is still wine. But when these elements are consecrated by our Lord's words, they contain his body and blood. They are, as we say, the true body and blood of our Lord. They are the real presence of him who forgives us, of him who saves us. This is a great mystery which cannot be understood by our rational minds. This is a miracle, and we can understand it only as we accept it by faith. There are those who are put off by the bloodiness of the Christian faith, who recoil at hymns like, "We are saved by nothing but the blood of Jesus." These are often the ones who reject the earthiness of our Lord, who was born in a woman's body, who suffered a terrible death for the forgiveness of our sins and our salvation, who was buried on the third day, who rose on the third day bodily from the grave, and is still physically present with scars at the right hand of the Lord after he rose and ascended into heaven. He's there physically. Our gospel reading ends with Jesus' declaration, "I will not drink again from this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What do we make of this? I like the emphasis that is on that is given by the Christian teacher Frederick Dale Bruner, who helped me with this, some of these passages, and who comments that the important thing to hear there is "with you." This is another way of telling them and us how much Jesus loves us. And for this great celebration, the wedding feast of the Lamb, Jesus is in effect saying, "I can hardly wait. Me too." Even with and realizing that to get there, we have to go through death with him, and then the glorious company of the saints, the great spread of food for the and drink for the wedding feast. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. Dear friends, we serve a Lord who is physically present in this Holy Communion. his real presence, as we put it, with us here on this Maundy Thursday service. What a great gift it is to worship here. To worship here today, our risen Savior, to come before him with repentant and grateful hearts, to hear the word, his word in the Holy Scriptures, to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. After we have received this gift at communion, and after we observe the stripping of the altar in silence, then we will leave quietly while carrying in our hearts and our bodies the gift of our Lord's forgiveness, of his life given to us, and of salvation. So may the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto eternal life. Amen. We continue on page 80 with the Nicene Creed. Will you please stand if you are able? Page 80. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray now for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for your holy church gathered and nurtured by your word and sacrament and sent into the world to be the body of Christ. Give us always the mind of Christ that we may seek the lost, bring good news to the afflicted, and bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Empower us for mission with purity in teaching, holiness in living, and Christ-likeness in serving. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all to whom we entrust authority to govern. Help them to serve according to your will, so that mercy and truth, justice and peace may prevail. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who suffer sickness, sorrow, or any adversity. We pray especially for those of our congregation who are in special need. Also, we pray silently in our hearts those for whom we have personal care. Make all who are persecuted for righteousness' sake keep safe those who were endangered, who's in the danger of their lives protecting others. Refresh those who bear heavy burdens. Use us as messengers of your mercy and instruments of your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, be merciful to all when we reach our final hour. Grant us a blessed departure from this world, and on the last day, a resurrection into your glory. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the exhortation. We're on page 85. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to examine ourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Scripture hereby encourages us to come to the Lord's table, believing that Jesus Christ is himself present in the bread and the wine, and in, as his words declare, "This is my body, this is my blood." Scripture also encourages us to come trusting in the forgiveness of sins, as Jesus says, "For you, for the forgiveness of sin." Finally, we are encouraged to do as Christ commands when he says, "Take, eat, drink. Do this in remembrance of me." When we repent of sin, believe his words, and do as he commands, we come in a worthy manner and join the whole Christian church on earth in giving thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for so great a gift. We also pray that his love will renew our love for one another, that we with the whole Christian church may know the comfort and joy that is in Christ our Savior and Lord. Receive now his grace with believing hearts. Amen. And will you please stand? We're on page 86 with the preface. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the tree of the cross gave salvation to humankind, so that when death arose, life might also rise again, and that the serpent who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and gave thanks. broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." The table is prepared. You may be seated. Please come forward as the ushers invite you. You will receive first the bread and then a small cup with the wine. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Thank you. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Let us speak the Nunc Dimittis together. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. Amen.